If you have been following the show, I mentioned earlier that we have been trialing out a new segment. It's called Vegemite Pizza, and it explores the differences and the similarities between Sydney and New York, two of the world's greatest cities. And today, we're going to be delving into a subject that's both fun and serious at the same time, and is also very close to my heart, as I'm sure it is close to everyone's hearts, because we're all children of the night, aren't we? Oh, actually, no, that sounds weird. So we're talking about nightlife. New York City is well known as the city that never sleeps, and it's a gift to the world. Its gift to the world has largely been its nightlife culture. And I think Sydney's no stranger to that either. I mean, it's produced so many amazing artists and pop culture moments that wouldn't have been able to come to fruition without a healthy nightlife scene. But in the last 5 years, we've heard a lot about the lockout laws and what it's doing to the culture of Sydney and how it's dying. But you know what? It's not actually something that Sydney's that Sydney's experiencing in isolation. It's actually something that's going on all over the world, as we're about to find out now. With me, I've got my lovely producers, Bethany and Max Maxwell.
Hey. Hi.
Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Wave for the camera. representing Sydney and New York, respectively. And I'm obviously going to be an impartial third party, eh?
Yep.
So, let's get right into it, Max.
Well, thank you, Sid. I'm pretty sure a lot of New Yorkers would think New York City is a gift to the world, with how our egos usually run. Obviously, New York City is considered a big nightlife city. You have Studio 54, you had The Limelight, you had Splash, all of these very famous nightclubs. So you think that the nightlife would still be thriving. Unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And there's a couple of factors. One of those is that prices, real estate, is just super high in New York City. It's skyrocketing. That's a whole other subject I will definitely want to discuss another time.
Yep.
But that does affect the nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got licensing fees. Alcohol is really strictly regulated. If someone is stupid, like an NYU student, no targeting, decides to go and use a fake ID and that club gets in trouble, they get a huge fine. And that could really devastate income. You also have the rise of dating apps. So in the gay scene, you've got Grindr, as well as other apps, which kind of eliminate the need to go out there to go like on the hunt, shall we say, for a mate. and it's the same for Tinder as well. So it's not just a gay thing or a heterosexual or a non-binary thing. It's everything because of these dating apps. One of the ways that New York City has been able to try to tackle this, because I think that the mayor did realize there's an economic downturn because of all of this going on, is he actually hired a woman named Ariel Palitz, I believe is her name, who is now the mayor of nightlife. And that sounds like a really cool job. But what she does is she essentially facilitates all of these different organizations and groups in New York City to tackle the issue. And a lot of those issues are people complaining about noise, just kind of generally trying to drive the culture and the nightclubs out. But the question is it really enough? And I don't know, to be quite honest. Now, talk to me, Bethany, a little bit about how Sydney is facing this, because I feel like we're not so different, you and I.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that happening over in New York either. So, you know, there's a lot to be said and has already been said about Sydney nightlife. We're all kind of a bit exhausted by the talk about lockout laws since 2014. It is tiresome, yes, but the reality is Sydney's nightlife has changed, and not necessarily for the better. Gone are the days of club hopping after 2 a.m., on any given night, weekend or not, the streets are more so desolate rather than bustling.
Mm.
Now, I turned 18 in 2016, so...
I'm so old.
No, you're not. All of my clubbing experiences in Sydney have been post-lockout laws. Maybe it's a blessing, but it's a bit of a curse, but I don't know what I'm missing out on. I don't even know what it's like to club after 2 a.m., so I'm not too sure what that would look like. The old King's Cross, infamous for its crazy nightlife, constantly bustling and granted, was a bit dicey at times. That King's Cross is long gone, and has been replaced with the new King's Cross that I know, which is quiet and eerie at best. There's been times I've gone to clubs and they've been empty on a Friday night. Around 20 people were there on this one particular night.
Weird.
Including staff, and six of those people were my friends. So, yeah, that was a really great experience. So I saw that according to the Sydney Morning Herald, as of May in 2018, 176 licensed venues have disappeared since the lockout laws have been implemented.
What?
Yeah.
That's
almost nuts. 200.
Oh my places. Goodness.
And that was in May last year.
Those are like
crazy statistics.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also another fun fact, apparently nothing is sacred, not even disco balls. Yes, the government is now coming for disco balls. They've banned them in venues that aren't licensed as nightclubs because apparently anywhere there's a disco ball, there must be hardcore partying and dancing.
Where there's smoke, and, there's fire.
Yep. God forbid that should
it's
happen.
Ridiculous.
You know, this, like, I actually covered a story where the police shut down a party in Goro's, like the nightclub in Sydney. Yeah, I know, in Surry Hills, because they had a disco ball. Like, they sent everyone home.
That's, I don't understand, but why?
It just goes beyond all logical reasoning, right?
But like, so I feel like,
it's post-1970s as well, where the disco ball is more of like a
kitschy, like, yeah, holdover.
It's
like
a, oh, yeah, like it's retro, it's cute.
Decor. Yeah. It's yeah. Like, you know, I mean, you get it in like the Sims base game now, you know? Like, it's pretty mainstream as far as, like, yeah,
yeah, like,
decor
I don't
goes.
Understand, like, you have kid toys that are disco balls.
It's so baffling to me, but what's so concerning is New York City doesn't really have lockout laws, and we're seeing a downturn in nightlife. Do you think if the lockout laws got reversed, from my lips to God's ears, would we see a resurgence at all? Do you think it's kind of a case of you don't know what you have till it's gone?
See, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like we've already, like, the damage has been done, right? Like, if almost 200 businesses have closed, and then on top of that, we've now got a culture of going out earlier or just staying home altogether, or that, you know, people are having house parties and that kind of thing. I'm not sure if extending hours, that in itself is enough to reinvigorate Sydney's nightlife.
Look, as I said, I've been, you know, of age since 2016, so these laws were already implemented, and I'd never experienced nightlife after 2 a.m. I would go home and trek it all the way an hour and a half back to Whoop Whoop, where I live. But I went down to Melbourne, and it was crazy. It was so insane. Like, it was so foreign to me.
I'm just baffled that your experiences are all post-lockout.
I know, you're so young.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not that much younger than you.
But actually, it is really interesting because while Sydney was instituting the lockouts, Melbourne was actually issuing new licenses to more premises in order to kind of grow the nighttime economy there. It's like completely divergent.
And how
paths.
They doing?
Oh, amazingly.
Of course.
I think it's almost kind of, you know, like a twisting the knife a little bit in the Melbourne-Sydney rivalry that, like, Melbourne has done so well.
Oh, is it like New York City and LA? Oh, there's another discussion.
Definitely. Exactly. Our sister city rivalries.
Right.
But yeah, go on, Bethany.
Sorry.
I was just going to say that I just kind of feel like the whole culture is a bit, It's like dead. I know for me and my friends, sometimes the trek to get to the city is not worth the struggle, especially if we chance no one being in the club and being stuck there if it's bad and we get there after one in the morning. If you want to leave, you have to go home. There's nowhere else to go. But I will say, for Sydney nightlife, we have variety. I was looking on the Time Out Sydney website, and they have a list of the best bars and clubs that are scattered all across the CBD. We have a bit of everything for all tastes and preferences. Everything from raves, cocktail bars, grungy metal bars, disco scenes, maybe Sans, the disco ball.
Yeah, Sans Goro.
Goros. Indie pubs, gay clubs where you can play bingo with drag queens and then work the pole like your life depends on it. R&B clubs where you can get your grind on, and then hidden secret bars that, you know, are hidden as,
Yeah, right. So, okay, so Sydney's known for, I guess, its variety, right, in terms of nightlife. But is that what New York is all about too, Max?
Oh, absolutely. There is something for everyone there, and a lot of underground stuff. I think I'll cap this off by saying, I think what we're going to start to see, because this is already happening in New York, is just house parties. Really creative house parties where people invest a lot of time and resource and money into just putting them together communally and creating these spaces where you can regulate things more and also meet some new people. So I'll be interested to see if that catches on here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least from the, well, anecdotally, my experiences, that's what I am seeing more of, right? Is that people are putting on either more house parties or
gathers
or whatever. Or they're like kind of throwing unofficial dance parties in, you know, warehouses or in parks or like that kind of thing, you know? So like you're starting to see, I guess, the unregulated nighttime economy come out to play, which, you know, is a different discussion that we'll probably table about the merits of that. But I don't know. I mean, it's definitely taking off in Sydney.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens.
I know. I mean,
everyone will always find a reason to party, and we're going to
do it. We'll just become more innovative in the ways that we do it.
It is interesting, it's though. It's like we've got two completely cosmopolitan cities at the forefront of their game. Mm-hmm. Both of them have nightlife nightlife economies which are like just being crushed right now and slowly dying, and for completely different reasons as well.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just part of a global trend. You know, maybe we as nightlife consumers, I guess, if I'm going to put my economist hat on, mm-hmm. Maybe we're just consuming nightlife in a different way now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you take into like account what people want to do on their nights off, usually they'll stay home, Netflix, you know, they'll want to save money. Maybe that's why. People are becoming more homebodies, maybe.
It's the mark of quote unquote adulting, which is another term that I hate. but look, right, Max, Beth, thank you so much for giving me the skinny on the nightlife in Sydney and New York and seeing how they interact.
Thank you.
Thank you.